141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As International Week starts to get into full swing, Lyndon Dyke says he's raring to go after being hospitalised earlier this year. Craig Gordon will be watching on with interest to see who takes his place in goal, according to one of the contenders, Liam Kelly. And Derek McInnes elsewhere is fed up of officials apologising and wants them to up their VAR game. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've got Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley.
Before I look forward, Gordon, I'm going to look back, and I'm going to look back to last Saturday when all the Premier League teams were playing, and I came out of my game, obviously I'm going to have to mention this, that we won.
Shock.
And then I saw those games and, you know, saw the highlights at night. Absolutely fantastic for Scottish football. I know there's some VAR stuff that went on, but I really, really enjoyed everyone playing on the same day. And then, like you said there, Lyndon Dykes, I saw his interview, absolutely delighted for him. I spoke to him when he was in hospital. So good, firstly, to see him out and healthy, but also back doing what he loves.
You two are officially in Clyde One Super Scoreboard limbo. Simon Donnelly, we're probably just slowly getting over the weekend.
Yeah.
And then it's international break and we have to wait until Saturday. So you two better be on top of your game tonight, because it's you're right in the middle of it all.
Certainly looking forward to it. I'm going to mention the Kilmarnock penalty that wasn't given, and the referee that sent my partner here off.
Was it the same guy?
It's the same guy.
Oh, he's stitched you up.
Unbelievable.
He's made you say that. Incredible.
Yeah, for the shoulder as well. Maybe you can put it up for the listeners to see both. See what
nobody
they think.
Cares about incidents. Well, I mean, and your Queen of the
South
games.
But I mean
games.
That and the Premier League one, and see, you know, what kind
it's
of what's
all
going
about
on.
You, honestly. 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. And it is a bit of a blank canvas, easy for me to say at this point, an international break, because we're bang smack in the middle. It is quite early. We start looking ahead to some of the talking points ahead of the Scotland game at the weekend. We'll hear from Lyndon Dyke some very interesting stuff given his recent health issues. If you do still have any club issues on your mind, then you can share it. Maybe this feels like a bit of a break, a chance to reset, maybe a chance to look ahead to the running that your team's got between now and the end of the season. And it just feels like there's never a night on this show where VAR is far away from people's minds. So anything at all, why not pick up the phone and let us know. 0141 951 1025. I mean, for goodness sake, last night we were swamped with calls about the price of the Scotland strip. It just shows you things that can snowball on weeks like this.
Absolutely beautiful.
It's very nice.
It's one of the best ones. But 90 quid.
Is that how much it is?
Thanks for listening last night.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I was busy last night. I need to try and get a freebie from someone.
That was my thought.
They're in high demand.
I need to get three.
Wow.
Do you know, honestly, right, I can't believe I'm going to come clean about this. So we were talking about it last night on the show, and I said I did try to buy one yesterday morning, and it was sold out. It was nightmare, sold out. So I've arrived in at the office today, and I've got an email from the receptionist saying there's mail here for you, and there's never mail for me, right? Unless it's like hate mail for
it's
the show
from Simon,
like written in crayon. So I go, and it's like the Jiffy bag, and it's unmistakably the same size, shape, weight, and everything as a football top.
No
right?
way.
And I'm thinking, no way has someone heard my plea and sent one over. My heart rate picked up and I ripped open, and it's not that at all. I mean, it is a football top, but for something entirely different, not even for me.
Oh, wow. Well,
that's what I get for getting my hopes up. But anyway, 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need tonight, so come on down. If you do have Scotland on your mind, it will be early thoughts, maybe on the goalkeeping situation, for instance. Early thoughts in the team. I know there was talk last night about where the teams train. I don't know if that's the type of thing that really cuts through and bothers fans or not. And if you'd rather look back, if you'd rather talk about your club, that is absolutely fine. There's Derek McInnes, actually. He's got some very strong words on referees and VAR and that sort of thing. So what's your thoughts there? Is this maybe a chance for everyone to take stock? Can we put any small improvements in place between now and the league starting back, or is that wishful thinking? Let us know. 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. I mean, quite right. I mean, Michael Horn, who's a big Accies fan, tweeted me, "Don't forget the SPFL Trust Trophy final on Sunday." But that's a touchy subject around
exactly.
you, of course.
So why
isn't
you mention
it?
That?
Well, he just sent me a tweet, and I thought,
I bet he did.
Just read it out. It just landed right in my inbox. But anyway, come on down. Let us know what is on your mind tonight. The floor is yours. I'm expecting maybe something from left field, because that's the way it can work on international break. And it is a few days away, Simon. And maybe I've always got this feeling that for some people, we've not played in a while. Steve Clark's team have been out of action, so it's kind. It can
what
be.
Was, for, what was the last game? Turkey
friendly. Turkey, yeah. So for some people, it's sort of like out of sight, out of mind. And then the closer it gets, and you start realising we're going to have a new goalkeeper in, yep. And you know, maybe a new look to some of the team. And then it's the start of a new era. It's the start of a new qualification campaign. And maybe it sort of builds up intensity as the week goes on.
Yeah, I'm a wee bit like that, I must admit. You know, you kind of put it on the back burner, you know, with the domestic stuff, and then when it comes round, we get the Scotland hat on again. I've got a game myself at the weekend, so I'm.
Oh,
going,
wow!
Yeah, so I'm going to miss the Cyprus.
Oh, that's right. It's great. Oh, it's great to have one
probably
of our
next week as well. With pulled hamstring or something.
It's great to have one of our. It's great to have one of our Clyde One Super Score
I'm actually going to phone Willow and
involved in this Celtic Legends game boots. Since Mark Wilson got overlooked.
Did he?
We were winding him up big time last night. Simon's playing. I mean, you're old enough
I'm
to be his.
Is that what you're going to say?
I don't know. You've got a good few years.
I'm
on
going
him.
To try and borrow Willow's boots.
You look after yourself.
Who's it against?
Liverpool.
Nice.
He's man marking Stevie G.
Hey, 40,000 at Anfield.
Wow.
It's a big one.
That is. That's going to be embarrassing when they're all skipping by you. I can't wait. I'm going to watch this. I'll pay to watch this.
YouTube bank is fine.
Have you been in the particular training regime for this? Yeah,
in Dubai.
Bits and bobs. Bits and bobs.
You told me you were out walking this morning. I don't know if that's going to cut it.
No, walking football, no. But I've played twice at Anfield in my career, right? The one was 0-0 in the UEFA Cup, we went out and away goals. The other one was Ian Rush's testimonial, and they battered us 6-0.
I think this could be worse, this
and
one.
And Kenny Dalglish came off the bench that night for Liverpool. So, I don't know how this one's going to pan out.
Ah, you must have some young whippersnappers in your team, though, no?
I think we've got Ross Wallace, who's
I've played of him at Burnley, yeah.
Niall McGinn, who I believe is still playing.
Yeah, in Ireland.
Mikael Lustig, who was at the game last week. He's only 35, so we've got some younger ones.
You'll be fine,
who's the older ones? Yourself.
Him. Me and Harold Brattback. Just the two of us.
He was an answer on one of the quizzes. I didn't even know who that was.
He's in his 50s.
Come on.
He's even older than Simon.
One of the most famous goals for Celtic. Come on.
This is pre-Marvin, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pre-8 years ago.
But to get back to the Scotland game, Scotland-Spain next week, that rolls off the tongue. I've been at 2 Spain games over the years. 84. I'm showing my age. I was there when we beat them 3-1.
Yep.
Mo Johnson, Dalglish. And then I was back, I think, 2010 when Spain won 3-2.
They were world champions at the time.
I think Naismith scored.
Yeah.
And I took my son to that game. 2 great games.
It was close.
That was close.
It was close. Anyway. Right. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Maybe you've got Scotland on your mind. Maybe international football doesn't float your boat. Maybe you've got something else entirely. So come on, pick up that phone on 01419511025. Paul is first through tonight. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Gordon. Hi, Sam, and hi, Marvin. My point is, the story's a bit bad. I've not been happy. On Saturday, the rumour that I heard was that in the summertime, Andy's looking for a centre-half, a centre midfielder, and a centre forward. So I think he's actually preparing the way for Abada to go to pastures new. And I've heard that Southampton's very nice at this time of the year. So.
Well, this did come up last night, Simon, and I guess one for you with your Celtic hat on. Stories that Leal Abada is not going to sign a longer term extension, and therefore Celtic would look to cash in the summer. What did you make of it?
Yeah, well, listen, Paul's heard rumours there. I've not heard any of that. I listened to you talking about it last night and Willow talking about it. I think the guys had a, you know, there was a caller, I think, on last night, you know, I think it was a really harsh regarding Abada. I don't know the situation. What I will say is the guy's 21, he's come in there. I don't have his goal return off my head here, but he's been very impressive in the time he's been at the club. But what I will agree with Paul is I think Ange has showed in the time he's been at Celtic, he's always a transfer window ahead, you know, so whatever's happening behind the scenes, he'll have other plans in place. You just only have to look to the two recent departures, Giakoumakis and Juranovic. You know, we had replacements lined up and they've come in. Certainly the fullback has come in, and I keep using the word seamlessly. It looks as if Johnson's been there for 4 seasons. So if the kid is moving on, you know, you'd wish him well. and a full confidence in Anst of some sort of replacement.
To answer your question, he's got 27 Celtic 27, goals, so I mean, and he's about a 1-3
21-year-old, 27 goals,
roughly 1-3
important goals in there, yeah, against Rangers, in more than one occasion. So I've got no complaints. The guys did really well at Celtic. He's a different. The six or seven strikers all have different attributes. You're saying he's, of course, he plays on the wide. He's different to Maeda. He's different to Jota. And I think that's why these guys have complemented each other so well, because at different scenarios or different situations in other games, they're there for Ange to use.
Yeah, it doesn't. Listen, if he is to move on, then kind of so be it. And like Simon said there, Ange is always a step ahead. He'll be prepared for all players, you know, eventually even the club. This is football. This is what happens. You know, if Abada thinks it's perfect for him to go and sign for, I think Paul said, Southampton there for benefit his career, then I'm sure Ange will pat him on the back, but then have the next one lined up to come in. And I think, you know, pre-Ange, we saw what happens if you're not prepared for players to leave and you're not prepared for transfer windows, unfortunately, under Neil Lennon. You know, so as I said, players always move on. It's about the manager and the football club being ready for that to happen.
I mean, it does seem, Paul, like we're a long, potentially a couple of months away anyway, and then who knows. But hypothetically, how sad would you see him? How sad would you be to see him go? Sorry, how much is he a player you rate? Or is this just another one where it's like, you know, Juranovic goes and you're happy with the replacement?
Having been old enough to see the breakup of Osborne Lyons, I don't think I'll lose too much sleep about any of them wanting to move on. You know, so just...
It's easier, I guess. You build that faith, don't you? I guess, you know,
I remember being on this show and like, Jackie Maccas was a favourite with the fans. Juranovic was a favourite with most Celtic fans, I'd imagine, in their time there. But at the time... You know, I knew just from the recruitment before, I knew there'd be people lined up to come in. And as I say, the guy Johnson's came in, I liked Juranovic, but arguably this guy might be better. You know, he's hit the ground running. Like most of Ange's signings, I think he's been really impressive.
Yeah, and he's younger too, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, listen, I don't think you can fault Ange as anything he's done at Celtic Football Club since coming in, and definitely on a transfer front.
I mean, with Abada in particular... It's a strange one, isn't it? Because he's clearly contributes in a big way. We always talk about the numbers, and you definitely can't argue with that. There's still that feeling, I guess, for some people, that if Ange Postecoglou had a do or die game tomorrow, he probably wouldn't give him the nod to start. It probably would go to, you know, Maeda and Jota. What have you made of him over that time?
I think he's been brilliant. I really, really do. And, you know, you talk about his age and being 21, he's still in his infancy in terms of his footballing career, and he's a player that's definitely going to get better. There's an awful lot of potential there, and as I said, to be at that age and contribute the goals he has scored, and you know, some of the performances he has put in, it will be a loss to Celtic. There's no two ways about it. If Ange could pick to lose him or keep him, we definitely want to keep him. But as I said, you know, it always happens with players. At times, many different things come up, and they might be unhappy and not getting enough football, or might see a bigger opportunity elsewhere. But as I said, Ange won't be caught short. He'll be prepared for this.
I mean, you two will know this, obviously, much better than me. I assume there are levels of unhappiness, though, yeah? I mean, we always... Yeah. When we hear these stories, we get the impression that, you know, they just don't want to be there anymore. And whilst that technically might be true, is it a bit more nuanced than that? Is it a case of, well, you know, I'm at a stage, if I can get a good move, I'll take that. It's not that they're, you know, kicking down doors and
like that. I think that's always the case, Gordon, if I'm honest. You know, if players can get a move or a better move in their eyes, then they'll always want to take it. I think Ange will be in a situation, you know, where he doesn't want any player to be happy that's not starting week in, week out. And that's kind of where the hunger comes from. And, you know, when they do come in, they can impact things, because players, I've been there, Simon would have been there, you know, when you're not playing and you are unhappy in a sense that I want to be playing. I'm not unhappy that I want to leave the club or I'm going to ruin training or kick doors down. You're exactly right there. But it's just part and parcel of football. And as I said, you know, Ange won't be surprised by players being unhappy. In fact, he'll be happy that they're unhappy that they're not playing, because he doesn't want people just to sit around at Celtic, you know, being happy to be a bit part.
Let's thank Paul and bring in Mark and Mary Hill, get his take on things. Mark?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Not bad at all. Are you well?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks.
Good,
I'm
man.
Well.
What are you thinking?
What is Abada, a great player, young talent. I'm pretty surprised at the goals you've just mentioned there, considering the starts he gets. He's a bit back player, and that's what he's doing for us. And we're willing to, well, the rumour is we're willing to let him go. Now, fair enough, but we're letting quality players go, which I'm kind of worried about. We should be keeping hold of Giakoumakis and the right back we just let go as well for next year's push to the Champions League. But if we're going to let them go, the quality young players we're bringing in, and so far we're letting them go on the cheap, which kind of surprises me. And Abada, for me, 15, 20 million. He's 21 years old and you can see he's going places.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, cheap is one of these totally subjective things. You can make your own mind up on it. Mark thinks that players are going on the cheap. I mean, it does seem like we're too early to be talking about an actual fee. It's just the one that was mentioned yesterday was 10.
Yeah. No, listen, I don't know the value in the market with players.
Is that still decent though when you've only paid a couple of million for the player in the first place?
The only thing, as we're discussing it here, I'm thinking the boy's 21. It's his second season at Celtic. He's banging goals in. I think he's more than a bit part player because he started against Real Madrid. He had a chance at the beginning of the game at Real Madrid at Celtic Park. He started games against Rangers. He's not a bit part player. I think just with the way Ange rotates his squad at times and the form that Maeda has had since the World Cup, you know, it's hard to leave him out if he's fit. It looks as if they're going to be in the Champions League next year. So, you know, I think maybe just a little bit premature for him to be thinking about moving.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but he's put in a position, like you're saying there, he started those big games and he's done well in them. Obviously, you know, he missed a chance against Real Madrid, but he still had to be there to miss it kind of thing. And he's probably thinking, I want to play for Celtic every single week.
Yeah.
And he does look at the other wingers and says, listen, there's a healthy competition here, some really good wide
and
players.
And I think that was maybe Giakoumakis' thing as well, where he couldn't shift Kyogo.
Exactly, they don't want to leave Celtic. Let's be honest, they're the size of the club. They don't want to leave Celtic, but they have to do what they think's best for their careers.
It's interesting, because at a quick glance, right, I think he's played about half the minutes in the league this season.
Yeah.
Just had a quick look on Transfer Market. There may be other more reliable sources, I'm not entirely sure, but if you look at the minutes, divide that by the number of games that have been played. So he's played, he's played half the minutes.
See, before the World Cup, I would have probably thought he would have started more often than not. It's from Maeda's form. Maeda's came in there and I think he's always going to play Jota. So Abada's kind of fell by the wayside a wee bit. You've got Haksabanovic knocking on the door there as well now. So that's what happens at a big club. But I would say it's maybe just a wee bit early for him. You know, his second season and a lot to... I know what you're saying, he wants to play, but it's a good time to be at Celtic. They're winning a lot of stuff. They're playing lovely football. The guy's scoring goals and they've got a Champions League around the corner again.
I mean, Mark, I know maybe not the massive fee you had in mind, but continually to buy players for a couple of million, sell them on for three or four times that, is that... If you can sort of keep doing that and getting the type of replacements that you've had so far, is that not a fairly sort of sensible way of going about it?
Oh, definitely, business-wise, definitely. But obviously, as fans, we want to see players kept on the part that are going to not just entertain us, but take us further. And being 21 years old, what he can do for us if he was starting more games. Now, I said bit part player, maybe a wrong choice of words there, but he's wanting to leave because he's not getting the starts. Now, that's what he wants. Now, for me, My dream is Jota on the left, Abada on the right, all day long. I'd start with that. I know people say Maeda comes on and runs them ragged, but Abada out on the right and Jota on the left for me.
It's interesting. Maybe he's slightly isn't a different sort of category to the two high profile ones that left. I think respectively Juranovic and Giakoumakis are 27 and 28. I mean, you're pulling on the boots this weekend, right? So I'm not saying you're over the hill at 27 and 28. Far from it.
Halfway meant Simon, sorry.
But there would be a realistic hope that, you know, well, if you could keep Leo Labada and he keeps getting better, he might, and I'm not saying he will, he might get much better. If you're Giakoumakis, 28, you know, you're going to improve drastically between that point.
No, it's a fair, it's a fair point. I think Abada, watching him over the two seasons, when he first came in, really raw, very quick, but good for a goal. And he's not the polished article now, but he certainly has improved in the two seasons. So you're right. I think if he keeps on that track and improving, you know, there's an even better player in there.
But his thing, Simon, will be that the quicker, you're talking about improvement there with him, you improve by playing games. And I'm just sitting there, he might not even be, this might just be a rumour out of nowhere, but as a player at 21, I know we're
not
saying
but
that.
But is he not playing games though?
But he's saying he played half the minutes. That's not enough. If you're contributing and you're out there and you feel that you should be playing, you feel that you're up to playing and you're doing well when you are playing, half the minutes isn't enough.
I know what you're saying, Marv, but I don't think, this is another thing that I I'm looking from the outside in. Ange, the environment there, I don't see anybody really sulking. I know Jackie Marcus would have been wanting to play, and maybe that's the factor that, you know, he ended up moving on. But these guys are coming off the bench. They are making, you know, positive impacts when they come off the bench.
To round that point off, Paul has sent me a message, which, and I think this was a question on Beat the Pundit, funnily enough, a few weeks ago. One of my favourite answers, because it did surprise me at the time. Abada is one of only two players that's played every league game for Celtic this season. Right. It's him and Matt O'Reilly, would you believe?
But where is he in the minutes?
That I don't know, Marvin.
Well, I'm not saying that he's ever going to be sulking, but when the team's winning, playing as well as they are, getting applauded as they are, you want to be out there.
He's clearly in the picture, though. Of course he is.
It's not like he's out of the picture. He won't be thinking that himself, but he just wants more minutes in a team that's playing fantastically well.
It was speculation yesterday, wasn't it? There might be.
Southampton might go down and all that sort
of
stuff.
There's another angle as well, you know.
01419511025. Thank you to Mark and Mary Hill.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here. It's 0141 951 1025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. If you want to turn your attention slowly towards international football, you can do that between now and 8 o'clock. I've just got a funny feeling some of you will like the comments from Derek McInnes on VAR and refereeing, so you can step up to the plate when we play those. And if there's anything else out there, 0141 951 1025. Paul dialed that very number. Take it away, Paul.
Hey, hi Gordon, hi Simon, hi Marvin.
No.
It's really my take on the rumours that are starting to surface that Abada wants to leave, or he's not signing his contract extension or that. I like Abada. I like the whole squad, to be honest. I'm happy with the whole squad. The two guys I wasn't too keen on, one of the guys that got sold in January. And I think they maybe thought they were better than Celtic. And the two of them that shot in the Champions League never done it for me. So I was very vocal about Juranovic being, I didn't like him as a defender. He's doing well in Germany attacking. I don't know how he's doing defending wise. But the thing I feel now is, when Ange came, he did say he was given interviews to the machine. If anybody doesn't want to be here, they don't need to be here. I won't try to keep them here. And you do think a wee bit of that to start with, that's maybe just to get the fans inside. But I 100% believe him. I mean, it's quite refreshing. It must be quite refreshing for players as well, that if you don't want to be there, you'll not be there. There's no MD going to try to beg you to stay. So, and I think Angie's attitude is, if you make any noises, if you're not 100%, you can go. Doesn't matter who it is. And that's the way I feel about Abad as well. I like him. I think the young guy, his goal ratio, the amount of touches to the ball he takes, the goals he scores is unbelievable. But if he wants to go, he can go. Any of them can go, to be honest, because I do think that Ange is that... He's a wise old owl now. I think that the four continents, he knows exactly the kind of guys he wants to bring in, so I don't feel it's a worry anymore.
Just out of curiosity, you say, you know, that's the same for any of them can go sort of thing. Are there none in an irreplaceable category? I'm just curious, because I'm just wondering. None that would really give you sleepless nights if they were on their way?
Not now, no. No.
Fair enough.
Because I think there's that. I think as well, being a sub at Celtic now is a bit different to being a sub under other managers. But you know the way that he operates, and you can come on and change the game. You can make a big impact in the game. I mean, I know everybody wants minutes, but I think it's a different kettle of fish. But I like them all, to be honest. But I don't think any of them are irreplaceable, and I think that's Andy's attitude to it as well.
I'm going to phone Paul back. If there's ever a night that Kyogo's rumoured to go, or Callum McGregor, I'm going to see Paul's as relaxed.
No, listen, I tend to agree with most of what Paul said there, if not everything. I think you have to put your confidence in the likes of Ange replacing players should he need to. I don't think he tolerates anybody that's maybe going to disrupt the harmony of the unit. And again, what Paul's saying there as well about substitutes, I mean, he changes it on the hour. 3-4 subs. most weeks.
I think that's partly Ange Postecoglou and that's partly Celtic, but it is also modern football in the five sub era.
Yeah, of course it is, and he utilises it brilliantly. You know, and if the team need a lift, like at the weekend there when they find themselves behind against Hibs, an unusual position for them at home in recent times, he puts the players on. O gets the important second goal. So yeah, everybody will have their favourites, you know, but I don't think, as Paul says, anybody is irreplaceable. Callum McGregor, he could maybe argue his influence as the captain. One of my favourites just now is Hitati. Mm. I think, you know, when he limps off after 15 minutes, there's a wee bit of magic goes out the team because he's been in such good form. But I don't think anybody is irreplaceable.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think... Well, Callum McGregor, for me, I think as a midfielder, is absolutely fantastic. He's probably the only one that I would say maybe a difficulty with Kyogo because the money you would get for him now. But listen, we're speaking about a young man here who just wants to play football. How many times have we spoken about people before that are just happy to sit around? I know it gives us a talking point, but we always have to be conscious of maybe he just wants to play football. You know, he loves Celtic. He loves being there. He just wants to play for them all the time. And I get it. It's hard when you do sit there and a team is winning and you think, I can contribute to that as well as they're doing and all the plaudits they're getting. Like I said earlier, I just want to be a part of this. And sometimes it's tougher to sit there and watch a team winning week in, week out than it is when a team's losing. You think, you know what, maybe I'm going to go on and get an equaliser here because they are playing great, great football and they feed the wingers constantly. He just wants to be a part of it.
But that's the other thing as well, though. You go somewhere else, you're not guaranteed. You know what I mean? It's no...
I know, but there's no guarantee. There's going to be some sort of, you know, looking at Southampton, for example, a team that's not going to win week in, week out. So if you are on a bench, you know, in the next 2 weeks, you're probably going to start again because they're going to lose a game within that kind of time period. And it won't be one of them that he goes to Ange and says, I demand to play week in, week out. It's just that he probably respects what Ange is doing. He probably respects that the boys are ahead of him at this moment in time and performing when they are playing. So he doesn't have any gripes with that. So what can you do then? The next thing is you look at your own future.
Mm. Thank you very much to Paul on the line. Let's do one more on this for now. John is also a Celtic fan. What are you thinking, John?
Evening, Gordon, Marvin, Simon.
Hello.
Before I make my point about Abada, I think a lot of this is mischief making about Abada with the media. Because over the city, it seems to be the media are like telling guys to sign contracts with Rangers or extensions, etc., whereas they're trying to make sure Abada's going. But I'm, as you know, Gordon, I'm a regular on here, and Simon, as you will know, I'm a big fan of Abada. I think my personal opinion, he's a better player than Jota, and he's more effective. Right, but that's up for everybody's opinion. But the way I've tried to go on here a couple of weeks as well, obviously Ange will have a ready-made replacement if he does go, but to me, there's one sitting on the bench now who I think you'll see the best of him next season is Hak Sabanovic. I think this guy is a tremendous footballer. And I like the way how direct he is, Simon. Obviously, you'll see a lot more of him in every at Celtic, Simon, but I think this guy is a ready-made replacement, although I know Ange maybe will want to, if Abada does go, he likes to keep numbers, you know what I mean? But I think this guy's, you'll see the best of this guy next year. And this guy got interviewed the other day as well, talking about the harm that Celtic part with the subs. And there was a thing, it was seen on a Twitter post by him after, Joe Hart, about how, you know, on the continuity of the Celtic players, all the substitutes included. So I think, to me, a lot of this is with the media. Just what you think, guys.
It depends. I mean, John, on a show like this, for instance, Simon Donnelly forms part of the media, and I'm not sure he's trying to drive Leo Labada out. I think it would be far from that. I think if you actually look at the origin of it, it came from direct quotes from the president or owner or something like that of Leo Labada's former club. He was the one that spoke about it, and then it went from there. Then a story appears in the paper. Like, I know fans will always think this. I've yet to understand why that would be a thing. Because if he does go, Celtic would get 10 million quid for him. So if for some reason there is someone out there who wants to get rid of Leo Labada on Celtic's behalf, Celtic are going to gain from that.
That's a lot of money.
You get to
as well.
Move him on for nothing. So I don't really get the conspiracy theory on that front. What about the rest of it though? Hak Sabanovic and so on.
Yeah, I think Hak Sabanovic, I think there's a real player there. I think he has made a real positive impact coming off the bench. He got the start at Tynecastle in the cup. I thought he had a quiet game. But then I thought back to my day when you were playing and you get your chance and maybe trying a bit hard. He probably needs a run, but then we go back to Ange can't guarantee him a run. But I really feel there is a player in there. I've watched his two fine finishes at Celtic Park recently. I watched him right at the beginning. I think when he came off the bench at Dingwall in his debut, I think there is a player there. What I'll say is, what I said earlier on, the wide players at Celtic, they all bring something different to the table. They're all different. And where Abada, for me, he sniffs out areas. I mean, look at all his, most of his goals are coming in at that back post. Yeah. That isn't a fluke. That's whether it's instinct with him, he's really good at that. Lightning quick. And as I say, from what he was when he first came in to now, a huge improvement. You know, he's progressing all the time.
Is that the strongest area, Simon, do you think, of the Celtic squad? The wide area?
I think he's got good selection there. Yeah. You know, he's got good selection, four or five, that he does kind of rotate it at times.
Haksabanovic gets very few starts though, doesn't he? Yeah. And then we saw Tynecastle and maybe didn't quite, you know, click for him. Is that listen, tough?
And does
there become that added pressure almost?
You're sitting there thinking, all right, he hasn't taken his chance that time. And then he comes off the bench against Hibs and scores a great goal. And then people will say he's an impact player, but I don't believe he is. I just think he needs one good game, one good start, and get a run in the team. You know, and that's down to how he performs.
Hard to come by in this team, isn't it?
It is. But that's the thing about, you say, modern day football with the five or six subs or whatever it is. And at a club like Celtic, that is what it's all about. You have to, when you get in there, you have to take your opportunity and grab the jersey.
Yeah, Andrew will understand better than any of us as well. You know, like you say, Haksabanovic started against Hearts in the Cup, and you know, by his own standards, maybe he wasn't that great. But Andrew will know, he'll probably look at the previous games. When's the last time he started before that? He'll understand that, and he'll be trying to, like John's saying, maybe to get him ready for next season as well.
Thank you to John on 0141 951 1025. Good time to get your calls in. We could be speaking to you next. We'll hear from Derek McInnes. Why don't we do that? He has been talking about VAR, everyone's favourite three letter abbreviation, and he's fed up of apologies from match officials. If you've got any quick fixes that we can roll in between now and the end of the international break, now would be the time to share them. I'm all ears.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here at 0141 951 1025, or it is Twitter at Clyde SSB. Now, look, the reality is now, right, here in Scottish football, I could pretty much open these phone lines at 6 o'clock every night and say, what do you think of refs? What do you think of VAR? And we could probably do it until 8 o'clock and then everyone would properly lose the will to live. It's going to happen on a Monday. It's going to happen just after games. And every now and then, if people say something interesting, we can dip in and out of it. So let's hear a bit from Derek McInnes, and I encourage you to get your thoughts in quite quickly on this. You know, you look at the weekend that just was. Now that the dust has settled a bit, is it as bad as everyone is saying? Have we reached some sort of tipping point that serious change is required? Is there a little bit of it kind of snowballing and is overreacting to certain things? Or how do you feel about it? And is there anything that realistically can be tweaked quickly? Because I keep hearing all this stuff, you know, our refs just need to be better, which sounds great, but I mean, in theory, how do you do that and how do you do it quickly? But let's hear from Derek McInnes. He says he's sick fed up of getting apologies from the Scottish FA over refereeing decisions. He's calling on the officials to up their game. He wants them to prove that bringing in VAR was the right call.
It was the one big Andy's like, I don't know how I got away with it. He's a new right away, it's hit his arm. And I said to the referee, why were you not asked to look at that? He says, well, VAR said they checked it and there's no need to look at it. I thought the referee was actually had some decent game today, but it's like VAR was brought in for the referees, to help the referees and aid them and get them the chance to have a second look at things. And I think we seem to be looking at so many things that aren't needing looked at again, and there's so many things that we should be looking at again, particularly that penalty kick. So it's frustrating. I think we've been hear Ange and you hear whoever talking about, you know, almost kind of scoffing at VAR as if they get nothing. We, if you look at us, we have a zilch. Honestly, it's ridiculous. We don't seem to get any breaks at all.
Right, where are we on this? Because it feels like certainly the hysteria reached a high point or round about that at the weekend. Is that because it genuinely has got worse? Is it its worst, or was it always going to snowball? Was the momentum of negativity always going to build up, and therefore you feel like every high-profile mistake is worse than the last one? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's always frustrated me from the minute it came in. It really has.
So you don't feel like more frustrated now, so to speak?
It's not an acceptance, but it's just I cover, as you know, most of the Celtic games, and I just accept now that there's something going to happen within the game, and it's changed the way we watch football. It really has. You know, there's goals, and people are hesitant to celebrate, and I've seen it time and time again at Celtic. But I agree with Derek McInnes there. That decision at the weekend, it's a penalty kick, and they don't even look at it back. But it is. I talked to you in the break there about watched Nottingham Forest Newcastle the other night, and was it Newcastle scored?
Yep.
And it was bizarre. It was given offside after Nottingham Forest having two goes at trying to clear the ball
because they were deemed not deliberate.
It get taken back for the and it's just changed the way we watch football. And for me, it's frustrating the life out of us.
I mean, it just feels like this maybe says more about how sad I am, Marvin. I had a social media experiment the other day, right? Because what I'm seeing now is, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's more hassle than it's worth. And I typed in, get rid of VAR, right? Just to see what would come. And by the way, they're saying this in England. They've been saying it for years, and now we're saying it. And it just feels like a very typical approach. We've had it for a couple of months, and we really kind of should have known that it would be like this. If you look at other leagues, international competitions and so on. But now that we're here, we really don't like it, and we shrug the shoulders and just say, get rid of it. I mean, how do we actually ever progress? Because like I said to Simon, it does feel like, see, next week when there's a mistake, that'll feel worse than the previous one. And then on to, you know, it snowballs and it feels like the negativity just really builds.
Yeah, I think it does. I think there's an element of frustration within there as well. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. You know, some of the decisions, the one that Derek McInnes is talking about, and there's one also, St Mirren v Dundee United,
the penalty.
Yeah, I know, but I think, you know, if the referees come out and if they're allowed to do so and they speak about, so whoever's in the VAR room and said, the reason I didn't get that one check with Andy Constantine was because of this. Now, there's no right of reply from us, but they just say, this was the reason why. I think if we can hear why that wasn't looked at, why they didn't think it was important for a referee to go across to the monitor and look at that again, I think we can kind of make sense of it. I think the frustration builds up because we don't understand why. Now, we're all sitting here in the studio, and for the life of us, we cannot understand why the referee wasn't told to go and look at that with Andy Considine. For me, that's a handball. It's a blatant penalty. Some of the stuff we've seen given, that is a penalty. The same with the St Mirren Dundee United. I just think they need to come out and just speak. And I think they would want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it's an open press conference, but if, you know, they could have, you know, something on YouTube, for example, and three incidents from the weekend. This is the reason why we didn't give that or we did give that. And I think it would just, you know, take the tension down a few notches.
I mean, there's instances there. Obviously, Derek McInnes is talking about the Kilmarnock side of it and getting zilch, as he said there. And as I say, the Celtic games that I cover, so I can only really talk about them when I'm seeing them. And, you know, you watch the Scottish Cup game with Hearts, where Johnson puts the cross in. Now, for me, that looks like a free kick inside the ball. It looks like a penalty. But they don't even look at it. And it's almost like they don't look at these things and then they go back to look at other things.
I do wonder, though, if sometimes the language is difficult as well. Because when we say, like, they don't even look at it, what do you mean?
Well, VAR don't say anything. You better have a look at that.
How do you know? All right, you mean the ref doesn't go over to the monitor?
Yeah.
But that's not the same as they don't look
at it.
They
check everything, don't they?
Yeah.
Every goal that goes in, every penalty. And that's what I mean. So if you check Andy Constantine,
they don't value telling the ref to go and have a look at that in the monitor. Yeah. They dismiss it. Now, for me, that's a penalty kick.
Yeah.
For no matter who's playing there, that looks to me, he puts the cross in, he gets taken out.
I guess, I know. But
then they look at other things where I think one of the goals get checked at the weekend. I think Haksabanovic's might get it checked, and everybody's scratching their head going, why?
But again, you do just check every goal, though, don't you? That's the point. It does. It just checks every goal. And then sometimes that'll take a bit longer than others. As you mentioned, that, what was it, the Newcastle one? Because whatever can be,
and then there's an interpretation.
Go back to the start of the attacking
then
phase
they have
of play
some sort
whatever.
Of interpretation to justify the decision, and
that's why communication is important, though. Like I'm saying, that is why it would be so good for everyone. And as I said, so good to sit there and listen and understand why. And we're talking about Derek McInnes one because obviously we just played that. Why that wasn't checked? Because
I think I'm frustrated as well. There was another one. I can't remember the game the other week I was watching. Is it Peter Walton? The referee in the studio.
Yeah.
He says it's a penalty. 20 seconds later, after he'd seen it at a different angle, it wasn't a penalty. He changed it in 20 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. But at least you can hear. And he said the reason why I don't think it is now.
That drives you nuts.
Andy Constantine, I can't understand why. What could have happened there? Mm. Like, unless he says someone was pushed or something like that, then at least just come out and speak about it.
I think particularly on something like that, it would be really important, wouldn't it? Because everyone is just fixated on the handball,
mm-hmm.
and everybody thinks it hits his hand. I mean, how could you not? And it might, and I'm honestly not speaking from any knowledge here. Mm-hmm. It might genuinely be that the ref, the VR, is listening to this tonight and going, "Ah, you lot are all clueless. There was a foul in the build-up."
Exactly.
So I do get that.
It would be brilliant
for sure,
because the referee's right there, by the way.
Yeah.
And the fact that the referee didn't blow with it right in front of him also is a little worried. But me and him are pals, so I'm not going to go into that.
Paul is in Greenock. What's your thoughts tonight, Paul?
Well, it's not that I'm against the VAR. You hear what the referees are saying, and I don't know if any of you guys watched the thing up UEFA referees, guys over the last so many years, referees are discussing different lines. You can hear them talking about why they made the decision on a penalty or whatever, and they're discussing between each other. If we could hear all that, you know, in the background, then we maybe understand better why they're giving that decision. I don't know what you think on that one.
I mean, obviously, I would love that. I mean, I'd absolutely love it. Think how good that would be. And it would be great for shows like this and whatever else.
For us to hear the referees' conversation.
Absolutely.
Like the rugby.
Yeah, but to be fair to referees or whatever, it's not like that's commonplace. You know, it's not like they do that in the English Premier League and we just don't, or they do it in the Bundesliga, you know, and we just don't. And that's the way to fix all this. It might be, but sort of globally, I know there is a trial coming in, isn't there, at one of the event, that one of the big tournaments coming up soon. Is it the Club World Cup or something like that? I can't remember. I read it recently. So on one hand, I love it, but this notion that the Scottish FA just needs to introduce that and that will fix our problems is maybe a bit of a delicate one.
Yeah, I don't agree. Again, it would be brilliant for us to listen into. I don't think that's the right thing or the right route to go
Why
down.
Not?
I just don't, because then I think, you know, for example, assistant referee might say something that ends up being proven wrong, and then all of a sudden in the media and on talk shows we're all talking about he's got this wrong, blah blah blah. I think it's just unfair. It's putting added pressure on them, and it's already an extremely difficult job, and they've already got the spotlight on them, because as you said, with VAR everybody's looking at the referee. So I don't think having that constant communication we can hear
that does lead us on to something that is at least just worth considering, right? That maybe we're verging on a slightly unhealthy obsession.
We are.
With some of the stuff. And look, the irony is not lost on me. I know that then on shows like this, people come on and then it all goes round and round. But just take the weekend, for example. There was a lot of really big, contentious decisions for people to debate, and that's good and that's healthy, and football should do that. Is that a foul? Is it a not? Is it that handball? Is that not? Yet we even want to go as far as to say that, well, I've looked at my TV and I think that Hawkeye got that offside wrong at Fir Park, and then I see articles about wonky lines and all this stuff and things that are just factually incorrect. And it feels like we as a footballing nation are, on one hand, yes, trying to call out the legitimate problems, and that's good, but on the other, becoming a bit overly obsessed with things that we don't need to.
Yeah, and that's where it gets a little bit unfair and a little bit dangerous, like you said there, people talking about wonky lines and other things that are factually incorrect. You know, this is kind of what we're talking about here, is just opinion based, and as to, we've all seen that Andy Constantine, again referring back to that one, that's a handball to all of us. So if somebody hasn't given it, then explain to us. So no, I get it. It's difficult as well, because I look at all these incidents in isolation, by the way, because I don't support any of the teams that are involved in them.
Why, in a way, for me, this is quite refreshing that it's this Andy Considine handball that's driving this, because it takes away the madness that we can get involved in at times in this city. I mean, Paul, Marvin's thinks that could be potentially a bit harsh on refs, or maybe people, you know, picking up words that they've said and hanging them out to dry with it. Do you think there's a danger of that?
Put Paul in it. Use some of it to.
Paul's line's a bit ropey. I'll give you the final say on it, Simon.
Listen, I think it is a hard job. It was meant to be brought in to help referees, but for me, it's not going to change my mind. You asked me earlier on, and it's not I can only comment because I cover the Celtic game, but I watch a lot of football, as you know.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because you...
It changes the way you watch football.
I think you watch more leagues, right, than MD, I know. You're always on it. Did you watch this game? And I'm thinking, no, I didn't. And I don't
although
know how
you watched it. Although you brought a game up tonight that I hadn't seen.
For the first time ever. That's what I'm saying.
It changed the way we watch football.
But do you recognise a lot of these problems actually are just existing everywhere? Or have we got them ourselves?
I don't think it's just exclusive to Scottish football. Absolutely not. I'm talking about across the board. But it's changed the way we watch the game. And I can only comment on it first hand on ones. I've got people, I'm in a studio behind the goals at Celtic Park, and you've got people looking up, looking for, because nobody knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, they can see in this, checking for whatever, but it's just changed the way we watch the game.
Thank you, Paul. Shame the line was a bit wonky, hopefully. See that? Leave did
I like that.
We'll do it another time. That was Paul in Greenock. Takes us up to time for this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. I don't know if it's because it's international break, people are just like, think this is the GBX and they're getting in touch for shout outs. I've had so many tweets. I mean, Jamesy's absolutely pestering me that you have to do this before 7 o'clock, some England, Scotland, England home nations game in Bahrain on Friday. And he's enlisted 15 players. I hope he doesn't think I'm mentioning all 15. Behave yourself, Jamesy. And Scotland 17s are about to kick off as well. Against Wales, Lee Miller has been on to say give the boys a nudge, because of course his son Lennon, Motherwell youngster, is playing in that team. So you can check that out, not at the expense of listening to us, of course. You could maybe stream that and listen to us in the background, but right now it is Beat the Pundit time. 0141 951 1025. Call before 7 and you could be up next. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here. It's 01419511025, or it's Twitter at ClydeSSB. So get in touch. We have been following on a bit from last night, I think you would have to say. Lots of Celtic fans wanting to discuss Lia Labada's contractual situation and his future. Derek McInnes then had some strong words about referees and VAR. So as always, people are very keen to share their thoughts on that topic. So feel free to keep either of those coming. If you're looking to move it on, we are going to hear from Lyndon Dykes in the not too distant future. Quite something to go from, you know, hospital bed and serious situation at that to perhaps starring for your country in the space of a few weeks. So we'll hear from him and we'll start building up to the international weekend that we've got ahead. So keep those calls coming in then. 0141 951 1025, and we'll play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, Beat the Pundit time. Your favourite time of the week, Marvin Bartley?
I feel relaxed, and that's a real worry. A real worry. If I get picked,
it's better when you're on edge.
Yeah,
why is that?
I think the foot long I had before coming in, it just put me into that kind of snooze mode.
Oh, like, went to that popular sandwich shop. Did I ever tell you the story about that a few weeks ago?
You'll
have missed
it. Free one, did they?
No, they
after
didn't.
You dropped it.
On a Saturday morning, on a Saturday afternoon, sorry, in here, we decided to order from said sandwich shop. And your old pal, Hugh Keevans, had never been before, never heard of it, right? And he'll be listening, entirely unfamiliar with the concept. So we were saying to him, look, just think of it this way. It's a sandwich and you can pretty much get anything you want on it. Anything and everything. Just tick the list, like take what you want. Do you know what you got on it?
Cheese.
Ham and cheese.
Oh.
And we ordered it, and producer Callum at the time, it cost him about £8 for this ham and cheese sandwich.
What
anyway,
a guy.
So you'll have to educate him. Anyway, Liam is in Paisley tonight. How's it going, Liam?
Not bad, mate. Yourself?
Not bad. You ever played before?
No, I have not.
Remind me, producer Ross, was last night's contestant from Paisley. I don't know if you know this guy, Liam, but you need to listen to this back. He was the most laid back person of, and he won. He came on and won.
Really?
I mean,
who did he beat?
Mark Wilson.
You something even better, Gordon.
Go for it.
See that laid back boy you're talking about?
Uh huh.
That's my wee brother, Sean.
You're joking?
If we didn't know him.
I'm no kidding you. Here I am, here, Gordon.
You can't have two players. It's not multiplayer. Why don't you go downstairs?
No, but like, do you know what's annoying me about this, right? Because I hope people at least take me as an honest individual. This, if I was listening at home, I'd think, this is some sort of stitch up. I swear, I did. And the producer's looking at me confused. Remind me of your brother's name, Liam.
Sean.
Sean, so what's... How are you, Sean?
Me and you should team up then.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you alright, Sean?
I am good, Gordon. How are you?
That's how he answered all the questions last night. And he still won. Incredible. Anyway, well, there are no rules against that, I guess. And
is he helping you, Liam?
No, mate, he's not helping
me.
Yeah,
I bet. Yeah.
What's going on with this place? Right, anyway, heads, it's Simon. Tails, it's Marvin. It's Tails, it's Marvin. Up against Liam, Sean, and whoever else is in the back of the car. And whatever it is that they're up to this evening, out and about in Paisley. So let's give Marvin some Clyde 2 to listen to. And we'll get the clock ready. I know Sean knows the deal, but Liam, for you, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Right, no bother.
Right, top man, your time starts now. Name either Rangers player sent off domestically this season.
Morelos.
Greg Taylor joined Celtic from which team?
Kilmarnock.
Who was announced Crystal Palace manager yesterday?
Roy Hodgson.
Which Scottish Premiership team has the oldest stadium?
Rangers.
Who was the last country that Scotland beat men's team?
Denmark.
Which outfield players got the most minutes for Celtic this season?
Callum McGregor.
Which team's nicknamed the Blue Toon? Quick.
Kelly.
Okay, let's bring back Marvin. Are you ready, Marvin?
Yeah.
Same set of questions.
Are they good?
I'm telling you.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Name either Rangers player to be sent off domestically this season.
Lundstrom.
Greg Taylor joined Celtic from which team?
Kilmarnock.
Who was announced as Crystal Palace manager yesterday?
Roy Hodgson.
Which Scottish Premiership team's got the oldest stadium?
Motherwell.
Who was the last country Scotland men's team beat?
Denmark.
Which outfield player's got the most minutes for Celtic this season?
McGregor.
Which team is nicknamed the Blue Toon?
Pass.
Juan Alegría is on loan from Rangers at which Scottish club?
He's on loan at Rangers?
On loan from Rangers at which Scottish club?
Partick Thistle.
Okay. Liam, Sean, how did it go?
I don't know, he sounded keen, didn't he? He was good, man.
Sounded keen.
You both got the first one right. Morelos and Lundstrom both sent off the same game, I think, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Easter Road. Greg Taylor joined Celtic from Kelly, both got it, and you both got Roy Hodgson, Crystal Palace. So a nice, easy start. Then it sort of goes downhill a little bit.
For who?
Both of you.
Oh, wow.
I must admit, this would be a stab in the dark for anyone, I think. Apparently, Tannadice is the oldest stadium. Right. I couldn't use
it. I just thought it'd be Motherwell because it was just you, silly question.
The last country Scotland men's team beat was Ireland, remember? Jack Hendry, Ryan Christie penalty Saturday night.
After Ireland beat them at Hampden.
Which outfield players got the most minutes for Celtic this season? You both went Callum McGregor. It's Cameron Carter-Vickers. I mean, to be fair, Liam and Sean, I thought unfair advantage here to Marvin Bartley. I mean, which team are nicknamed the Blue Toon? Because he's probably played them, and if he hasn't, it will be soon. It's Peterhead.
Peterhead, I would have said, yeah.
I mean, I bet you would have.
Well, you're not a manager in the same league.
But nicknames, that's not important.
Mm.
I had no clue about that Blue Toon one.
Yeah, me neither, Leo.
And Juan Alegría, this is not good for you either, is on loan. I feel sorry for you here because I can only assume
he was at Partick.
He's not featuring at all because you literally just played this team. Falkirk. Is he definitely still on loan there? Nah, he's not.
Nah, he's not.
He's been recalled, I think.
Nah, this happens every time I play this game.
Yeah. But that was
you're right, yeah, it does.
That was his most recent loan.
No,
club,
that's
anyway.
Not that's not the question.
Well, it's certainly not Partick Thistle because that was prior to that. So pick your dummy back up and get ready.
Last time it was a fish one.
Get ready for the full time teaser. You ready? Do me a favour, Simon. Go and stand in front of that league table.
Oh.
Yeah, go and stand in front of it.
Just take it off.
Yeah, take it off the wall. That's fine.
Take it off. Okay. Randall off recess, man.
Right. Randall. Right, here's the way it's going to work. I'm going to ask the question. I'll get Marvin to write his answer down, and I'll then invite you two to give me your attempt, okay?
Okay.
Right, good stuff. Like that, Marvin. Bit of tension. How many league goals have Celtic and Rangers conceded at home this season combined? How many league goals have Celtic Rangers conceded combined at home this season? Right, quick, Liam and Sean, give me your answer.
At home?
Quick. 18.
Okay, Marvin Bartley, what have you gone?
21.
The guys have gone 18. The answer's 18.
Yeah. No, they're googling. This is ridiculous,
no,
man.
Oh man.
These two are the most unlikely football anoraks in the west of Scotland.
Sitting at home with a Mac and an iPad.
I won't hear any different. You want me to kick these two out? You two can be the new pundits.
Aye.
Liam and Sean are running beat the pundit. They own you.
This is embarrassing.
Yes, mate.
Can you tell Mark I was at Snoop Dogg the other night?
Of course he was. I mean, of course he was.
Oh, I bet.
Anyway.
Liam, can I ask you a question?
Aye.
Did you want to see his Google then?
I'll send you my Google history the new, mate.
No, don't do that. Nobody needs to see that, believe me. That, honestly, right, that's why I urged them to sort of hurry up. Yeah. There's no way they could have done it quick enough.
Yeah,
home
of course
goals,
not.
Nah.
Great yeah. shout, 18.
18, bang on. These two are like Scottish footballs.
So that's two wins out of two.
For the family.
For the Bulls.
Yeah. Going to set the sign ball side by side on the mantelpiece.
Why did you get him to take that down?
I know. It would have not helped you at all.
I didn't know if it had the breakdown of home and away games. Okay. Some league tables do. You know, you can never be too sure.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. Liam, fair play, mate. Fair play to you.
Yeah, well done to
brother.
You.
Well done.
Oh, do you know what I really want to do? Like, genuinely, had no idea that. Because that's when I said, you won't. You probably won't know the guy from Paisley. He's sitting next to him in the car. I'm genuinely serious. I had no idea.
The best thing when his brother comes out, there's a massive delay, man. I think his brother was in like Jamaica or something. There's like 3 or 4 second delay.
Well, you know. I mean, Brian is sticking up for you, to be fair, that Juan Alegría is no longer at Falkirk. I thought there was something fishy with that question.
Oh, fishy. Now you've gone to the last mistake that you made as well. With who's got a fish on
Marvin,
there?
Marvin. Do you think I write these questions?
Oh, the producers, we need to change again.
Here's the way to think about this, right? Do you set out your own cones at training? Of course you don't.
You
get someone
I'm
who does
on.
That running about for you.
That's a listen, this is second
did you,
time.
Did you win last week? Are you in a slump?
Nah, he wins
nah,
quite a lot.
Yeah, I win quite a lot, week. Except for when he messed the questions up.
Sandra says, I swear I only listen for Beat the Pundit, especially when Big Marv loses.
My mum's called Sandra. It's probably her.
It's
no?
I'm thinking not enough,
no,
to be honest.
Okay.
No.
Especially when he loses.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The Paisley brothers, I need to know more about those two.
No, you don't.
You should have heard last night, honestly.
Really?
That exact same tone, pace.
Oh man.
Accusations about his what he's been up to. Like
yeah.
just yeah. And just stayed there. Never changed. And just
how have they got
just
three,
won
2 days in a row? That's brilliant, man. Honestly. To get 18 as well, bang on, that's fantastic.
Of course they did though. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, just sums it up.
Yeah, of course they did. Oh, of course,
guys.
Brilliant. Yeah, I'm happy for them. Yeah. Absolutely delighted.
Just give them one ball to share, to be honest.
Just cut it in half.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, why not?
Credit crunch.
Right, 01419511025. Get your calls into us, please. Brian is on the line. How are you, Brian?
Not bad yourself.
Yeah, not bad, Brian. What's your point tonight?
Hi, Simon. Hi, Marvin.
Hi, Brian.
My point is, I don't know if it's Simon or Marvin that's seen or taken the Hakrabanovic goal. The reason is, I think the reason he saved every single goal is there could be a player standing off offside position blocking the sight of the ball to the goalkeeper. So they've got to check to see if that's the case. That's why they take all these goals under man pressure anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Look, every goal does get checked. And look, sometimes it can, then this is where maybe communication does come into it. But then again, as far as I'm aware, I don't know if this is different anywhere else. I don't know if it is. If you think about a team gets the ball on the halfway line, drives forward, a few passes, probing. You know, the attacking phase of play is still going on. There's quite a lot to check sometimes. There's no doubt there will be others that we can have a pop, but it's just worth bearing in mind. No, so you're quite right, Brian.
But I think it's fully. If you ever watched a basketball game?
Yes.
On the telly. Right, they tell you exactly what they're investigating while they're outside of the pitch. The guy goes off to look at the monitor. He explains why he's looking at the monitor, and he explains his decision where everybody in the stadium can hear what he's saying. Then everybody would understand why they're checking these things. You see, it works in basketball, the other players stop, the referee, he's almost looking at his monitor, he's on the microphone, everybody can hear what he's saying. And I think that would be a better idea to bring in maybe a wee guy in a wee microphone in the stadium just explaining to everybody what they're checking.
Yeah, I mean, Marvin, what we get just now is it should be, and there's a logistical challenge for certain grounds because we don't always have big screens, and therefore it might fall on advertising boards, LED ones, or it might fall on stadium announcer, and they just give the basic, you know, checking possible handball, possible penalty, stuff like that. So Brian clearly wants it a lot of steps further on than that, you know, an actual explanation. Brian must be a big into his basketball.
But the thing is, Gordon, a lot of people who speak about VAR and complain about it is the length it takes, you know. So if you start wanting explanations as well, it's going to take even longer. I think we have to understand.
But you're not just be kind of doing it in real time, like describing what you're seeing, no?
No, because if you're describing what you're seeing, then you're probably taking away from, you're kind of multitasking, aren't you? You're trying to get these decisions right first and foremost. I don't want to be them explaining and getting something else wrong. It's as difficult enough as it is for the referees. I think we have to get used to it in football, that this is what it's going to be going forward, and it will get better. There's going to be teething problems. It's the first season we've had it in Scotland. Things will get better with it. I just don't think you can ask the referees to also be, you know, describing what they are seeing on the screen.
I feel like on one hand, Simon, that all sounds great. Like I said, I'd love that here. Let's be honest. I'd absolutely love it.
But on the rugby,
and on the other, I'd feel more sort of keen for it, or not more keen for it, but more like we needed it if that's what other leagues were doing. I'm not saying you just copy everyone else, but it just feels like football as a whole, IFAB, whoever it may be at the start of all this, just sort of, you know, we're lumped now with VAR, and you're kind of going to have to
deal with it,
to take the rough with the smooth on it. If everybody else was making up the refs, and like I say, I know there is a trial ongoing, if everyone else was doing that, you'd think, right, well, that's the thing we need to fix it. Where now it feels like we are stretching for all these solutions, and actually we'll be coming up with things that other leagues don't even do. So it'd be interesting. But if it happens, I think
maybe further down the line, you know, they're going to experiment at this tournament, as you're saying.
I think it was a year long trial actually, and it started at the Club World Cup.
It will be. I understand what Brian's saying, because as I said earlier on, there is a lot of confusion inside stadiums. You know, as a spectator sport, you know, folk are, it's taking the spontaneity away from celebrating goals, and you know, there is a bit of confusion there. So that would certainly help that, but I think that's still a wee while away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't go to many English Premier League games, if any. Actually, I'm always in here, but I assume it's just the same, isn't it? You know, it just pops up on the screen. So this would be the problem. We should have known this. And this is why for many people,
England still has problems with the screens. They still have problems with people complaining about stuff, Gordon. So even down there, with all the money that they have, and the full time referees and full time assistant referees, they still have problems with
it. It's not exclusive to
Scotland. It's just easy to, you know, kind of beat the referees and the officials up here with that stick. Although, and they're part time, by the way.
Although, to be fair, then Edward says we need to stop this narrative of blaming VAR. When will we learn it's the refs that are the problem? VAR's shown how incompetent they are. Take it away, we'll go back to mediocrity. David says VAR works majority of the time. It's been proven across the globe. What it's done in Scotland is sure refs not good enough and a very poor standard all over. That's the issue, I'd say, says David.
But it's not the ref on the pitch that's the problem sometimes, is it?
And it's got to be both, though.
Yeah, it is a bit of both. But also now, I do think referees using it as a safety net. If they think there's something there that, you know, maybe I would have given a penalty before, but I'm just going to leave it because the person in the VAR room might say to me, you can go and check that. Then I'll just leave it, kind of thing. Or, you know, we saw it, was at Dundee United, one of the penalties, the goalkeeper came out at Dundee United, punched the ball, was against Celtic. And, you know, that was given as a penalty. I think now you think, right, I'm going to give the penalty, and then if it's wrong, I'll get to go and see the screen anyway. Yeah. So it's taken that kind of edge away from it as well, I suppose.
Thank you, Brian. 01419511025. I'm sure we can get back to that tonight or any other night. That's a very popular topic for sure. Going to hear from Lyndon Dykeson, though. He has had a terrible time of it. Quite an interesting and important story to tell. We'll hear from him next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here. I'll get you a full-time teaser very soon, but I want to squeeze this in quickly because our next caller has time constraints. It's Andy Barge. He's on the line. And Andy's a big Scotland fan. That's why he's joining us tonight. But he also is such a big Scotland fan, he's recently written a book called A Nation Again, the inside story of Scotland's journey to the European Championship. So it seems like a nice way to get us into the international chat for this week. Andy, thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about the book then, now that it's come to fruition, it's out there, it's published. You must be delighted, a bit of a labour of love.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me on, Gordon. Yeah, you're bang on and quite right with the timing. Hopefully this is the start of a second book in the offing if we can go and do it again. So yeah, a labour of love. We started it the morning after we beat Serbia and finished it last summer. I spoke to a dozen of the guys that helped take us there. A lot of the guys that played in the playoff final, and they were so passionate about how they helped us get there. And I feel quite humbled and honoured, really, that they trusted me to put their memories and words onto paper and then have it in a book forever. So yeah, it's absolutely thrilled.
Well, I mean, you're the only guy in the country that was able to write the morning after that game in Serbia, so that's a good start. In terms of going forward to this campaign, then, how do you feel generally about what we've got round the corner?
Well, the campaign as a whole, the kind of shark in the water is Norway, isn't it? I mean, they're quite an imposing prospect, to be honest. I think purely because of Haaland and Odegaard, but apart from that, we've got the big team, which I don't think we ever really fear. We quite often save our best performances for those games. And then Georgia and Cyprus, we were going to get, we're going to have to work hard to get past them anyway. It was the seed that was going to be closest to us. Unfortunately, I think we were picked the second best team from Norway's pot. So that is a tough one. And I think it probably will, provided we keep our end of the bargain against Cyprus and Georgia, come down to the games against Norway, which fill me with a wee bit of trepidation, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, Georgia got some not bad individuals, in case people hadn't noticed as well. I mean, is there still a feel good factor about this squad and the international football? You're obviously, you know, big into it, and some people, I said earlier, it kind of goes out of sight, out of mind for some people, because it just feels like ages since we played, and it must be murder to build up that momentum, and then you're dealing with injury and club form and so on. Should there still be an optimistic outlook going into this one?
Yeah, to be honest, I think the way that the Nations League ended in October, I think it was November, has kept that alive a little bit. After the actual Euros themselves, I think there was a bit of deflation. Then we came back and we had that good campaign where we finished it with the win against Denmark. And suddenly, I think, you know, prospects were getting raised again. And then to go and recover from the playoff final, the playoff semi-final defeat to Ukraine and the battering we took in Dublin to then recover to finish top of the Nations League group and get promoted. We're going to have some really exciting games coming up over the next couple of years now in the next Nations League. So yeah, I think there is definitely reason to be positive. I think the squad's decent again. I think a lot of people a bit confused as maybe why there aren't so many changes. Some people maybe deserve another call, but look, Clark has got, if not the best, then somewhat close to it out of these guys. So I can understand why he's placed his trust in them again for Cyprus.
What is the main intrigue with this fresh batch of fixtures? Is it the goalkeeping situation? Is it tough to look beyond that?
Yeah, it feels a bit disrespectful to Clark and Kelly to say that it was a matter of urgency, but we did need, I think, another option. They've been in squads, but the fact that Clark hadn't trusted them before, we had friendly against Poland and Austria last year and then Turkey, and none of them got a game, I think that kind of told its own story that we needed a longer term option that Clark clearly fancied. And look, this isn't I know that Gunn has bided his time here, but it's not like Gunn is you know, suddenly discovered that he's got a Scottish gran. He's the son of a Scotland international, so he's got to have blue blood flowing through him in there somewhere. I know that he took his time to think about it, but personally I don't doubt him, and I've got no issue with him deciding now's the time, and especially at a moment when we needed it, with Craig Gordon not just coming to the end of his career but badly injured as well.
And will he get the nod?
I am certain of it, yes, 100%.
Certain, I like that level of certainty, I have to say. Andy, I know you can't stay on. We could probably keep you on all night and go through some brilliant stories of the book. I mean, we've got a few. If you ever want to add a couple of extra chapters, I'll tell you about the time that Hugh Keevans called up at 10 to midnight that night in Serbia, and it was his birthday. And believe me, he had been celebrating his birthday when he called this show.
He wasn't writing a call in the next morning.
He
then.
Certainly was not. But listen, I know you're hard pushed for time, so thanks for joining us.
No, thanks, Gordon. Cheers.
Good man. That was Andy Barge. If you want to go and check out that book that I mentioned, please do. Andy put a lot of hard work into it, reminiscing about some of the brilliant achievements of getting there to the Euros. Hopefully it's the start of something else going forward. What are you, are you 200% sure Angus Gunn plays in goal?
I'm not entirely sure. I think it's something that is, we've been blessed with really good goalkeepers over the last few campaigns. Craig Gordon, obviously, the horrendous injury. I'm not sure.
I think he plays.
You think he plays?
Yeah, I think he plays. I think that's. Yeah. I'm with Andy on that one. I think that's a certainty that he does start.
Great opportunity for Based somebody on... because, as I say, it's been so dominant with Craig Gordon, Davy Marshall in recent times.
Like the level that he's playing at is the. I mean, the Championship versus Scottish Premiership is always a contentious debate because there's a lot, you know, there's a variance within the Championship for a start, and then. What makes you so sure?
I just think, you know, when you go to that kind of trouble to bring somebody into a squad, I'd say trouble, that's probably the wrong word, but you go out there and obviously they've asked him before and it seems either he turned it down and now this time he's agreed to it. I think, you know, if you're going to come and be third choice or sit on the bench, and you're probably not going to have trouble to do it again. I just think once the manager's done that, he's kind of said, listen, the opportunity's there for you to come and play. Obviously, he has to produce the performances, but I think he will be given that chance to kind of lose a shirt rather than having to gain it.
And here's your teaser, by the way, just on that theme. You are, unfortunately for you, you're an adopted Scot now, Marvin, so you're going to have to deal with these types of things. You might get a...
I just want the question to be
these
right.
These are mostly your era, I would say. Okay. I don't know if it'll help you. Can you name the last 8 players to score for Scotland men's team who were not born in Scotland?
Lyndon Dykes.
Straight in with the correct answer. Well done. Name the last 8 players to score for Scotland Adams. Men's team who were not born in Scotland. Shea Adams.
Has Cooper scored?
Don't think so.
No.
Nope.
Last 8.
It's a good start. I'm happy with that. Dykes and Adams. I mean, there should be another couple of kind of more obvious ones in the squad based on
recent ones.
How they sound, where they play. Oh dear, that silence is ominous, isn't it? I don't like that.
Starting to get hot again.
It's making me nervous. You'll kick yourself on this one. I mean, he's not a goal scorer as such, but he's a very well known.
McTominay.
There we are, Scott McTominay. At least somebody's on the ball tonight, Simon. Thank you for that. Dykes Adams.
How does that not sound? What do you say? He doesn't sound Scottish.
He sounds. You ever heard him speak?
Oh, like, okay, right.
Like you.
Right, okay.
Okay, anyway, 01419511025. If you want to send a question in, by the way, that was Sean that sent that in, so thank you to Sean, fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's hear a bit from Lyndon Dykes, the first answer on the teaser. It's almost like we planned these things. But he's had an incredible time of it. He has scored important goals for Scotland. He may well do so in the coming games. But he's been speaking about his time in hospital with pneumonia just wasn't a couple of months ago, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Even if that. He says it was a scary time. It's made him appreciate his career even more.
It was quite serious. Obviously, I was in hospital for 8 days and it was quite tough on me and my body. You know, walking into a critical illness wasn't very nice. It was a scary moment because it went kind of 0 to 100 really quick. The doctors and the specialists was quite shocked how early that... I'm back, being involved. Even myself, a little bit shocked, but I was happy to get back out. Just happy to be back playing football, back on the pitch, and not in a hospital bed. But yeah, so far, so good.
The positive that I took out of it is that I'm grateful for everything that I have. And when I'm playing football now, I kind of step back a bit and realise what I'm doing. I just try and enjoy each moment now. So I'll enjoy it even more when hopefully Scotland qualify for these games coming up.
I mean, you know, Marvin, it's incredible. Everyone saw the pictures. He's in there in the hospital bed and he's talking about, you know, being out of breath and in really serious way, like not being able to stand up, not even being able to walk around the hospital and so on. So it's been quite a turnaround in the space of a few weeks.
Yeah, he was really, really struggling, you know, as he said there and kind of you alluded to as well. It was quite worrying times for him, definitely, and his family, but also his friends. You know, it's not often that you speak to someone or you hear somebody's in a hospital bed and for a point he couldn't even, you know, message you back or whatever his wife was doing it. So... listen, as you said, it's so good to see him back. I think he's played 2 or 3 games for QPR now. I think the first one back, he's meant to play 45 and he lasted slightly longer. So obviously his fitness and stuff's being built up and, you know, Steve Clarke thinks he's fit enough and you know, in good enough health to play now. So brilliant to see him back. As he said, you know, sometimes these things in life makes you appreciate what you do have, you know, and hopefully kicks on again in his career.
Let's bring in Paul, who is in Kirkdonald. What do you think of these... 2 games coming up, Paul? I mean, they're very different, aren't they? When you Cyprus is one that has all that pressure of everyone will expect you to win, and then of course Spain, which is an entirely different proposition, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty much both ends of the spectrum, isn't it? Hoping that we can start the campaign strongly. I think over the last few, it's been a kind of recurring theme where we have maybe kind of faltered at the start and then just kind of playing catch up with the rest of the campaign. But I think if we can, I mean, ideally 4 points would be fantastic. Come the end of the game on Tuesday, if we've got the four, that would be great. I suppose if we'd beat Spain and drew with Cyprus, maybe not. But I think as well, like the fact that with Norway got a couple of games against Spain and Georgia, and they're missing Haaland, obviously that could play into our hands as well in terms of if they can maybe drop some points, then potentially we could open up a little gap there, which could take us into good footing come the game in June against Norway. So yeah, I'm obviously optimistic based on current form and going to the games as well, which I'm looking forward to. So yeah, hoping for a good start to the campaign.
It's funny because when Paul said that, we sort of chuckle, Simon, because you think, oh, that would be the Scotland thing to do, you know, draw with Cyprus, beat Spain. But actually, right, see, to be fair, that this is the thing that has become a bit of a feature of this team. There is a bit more of a no fuss approach. You know, we've shaken a lot of that stuff because remember that stuff was all in the back. Oh, glorious failure and don't reach tournaments and so on. I think it's a bit unfair. You would be factually incorrect to label that sort of stuff at this team.
Yeah,
that's not to say it might not happen. But
well, listen, I think we're in a good place with the squad. I think we've got some really good players, and I think we'll kick on. I think the first game is a really important one. Home to Cyprus, we have to start off to a flyer. Anything you get off Spain next midweek is a bonus. And I think what Andy was touching on, I think it'll be down to the us in Norway for that second spot.
It's funny, Marvin, because you know how football works, right? When all this is said and done, if it doesn't go to plan, and we hope that's obviously not the case, you're not gonna cut Steve Clarke any slack. It's just not how football works. But I think we can say that before we go into the campaign, it is a brutal draw. Like, we've forgotten about it. If you are seeded second like Scotland were, it's supposed to help you. And as Andy alluded to, for Norway to come out in that seed, and then even for Georgia, because of the emergence of this absolute superstar they've got playing for Napoli as well, Shkvaratskhelia, I believe is how you say the name. I've been practicing. You know, look, these things happen in football. You'll need to deal with it. But I don't think we can gloss over it too much and fail to acknowledge just how annoying that is.
It's a horrendous draw, considering how well Scotland had done to, you know, be, as you say, seeded second.
We waited ages to be seeded second.
Exactly, and then you see it, you think, with Haaland. Wow. Yeah, it's such a difficult draw and probably couldn't have been much worse for Scotland. But listen, Steve Clarke will be saying to the players, it doesn't matter, we're seeded second for a reason. So whoever's came out after us, we are better than. It's just us to challenge, challenge Spain.
And to be fair, I've fallen into the trap as well, because as Paul alluded to, Haaland will miss these two games for Norway. And I put something on Twitter like, well, I bet he's fit for the Scotland games. And you know, in typical Scotland fashion, he'll be fit to play us, that's a certainty. But Paul quite rightly says, and people pointed this out to me on Twitter as well, maybe that just gives a better chance of Georgia taking something off Norway this time, and you're already looking for other teams to maybe try and do you some favours before it's even started.
Exactly, to slip up. But again, Steve Clarke will be saying, let's just take care of our own business. Yeah. You know, regardless of what Norway do, you know, let's take care of our business. We know how good we are. We know the togetherness that we do have and the good players we do have. We just need to go out, like you said, first and foremost, beat Cyprus, and then we'll deal with the Spain game after that.
Two home games to start. It's a good
start. Be rocking as well, by the way.
Yeah, you go and win the first game and take the momentum into the second game against Spain. You never know.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm sure I read today it is pretty much sold out at the weekend. And back to that out of sight, out of mind thing I said, and I know that international football doesn't float everyone's boat, but believe me, there was a time not that long ago where we are not selling out a home qualifier against Cyprus. Yeah. Not even close. Don't get me wrong, Saturday afternoon helps, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But there's still a momentum there, although it had to be put in the sort of back burner. I'm sure we'll carry this on for the next few days, Paul. It's the main issue goalkeeper wise. Are you bothered about Angus Gunn's call up? Do you think he'll play?
I think he's a help, to be honest with you. I can't see him joining the squad without some form of assurances that he's maybe going to be the main man. So I'd be really surprised if there was anyone else in goal other than Angus Gunn on Saturday.
Interesting, because I get that. I get the logic about assurances. Something that also just doesn't. Does that strike you as Steve Clarke's style?
No,
it's a tough one.
I'm not saying. I just think it's so difficult if you go out and chase a goalkeeper that hasn't been in the squad before and they need to switch, you know, what country they're going to play for. Would you go to all that trouble if they're not
if,
going
if
to play?
If he wasn't going to start.
Yeah, if they're not going to play.
It probably would suggest that that's the case. I think. It is a bit of a kind of clean slate with the goalkeepers, so this is maybe the opportunity to bring him in.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul, enjoy the game. I know you're going along at the weekend. That was Paul and Cardonald. Thank you for taking the time.
Is that the fifth Paul on the show today?
There's been a few Pauls tonight, yeah.
I feel like I'm in the Truman Show.
It might well be. I don't know.
Four, is it?
Four Pauls.
Four Pauls. Brilliant.
Well, you'll all sleep well tonight knowing that. Can you name the last eight Scotland goal scorers not born in Scotland for the men's team? Dykes, Adams, McTominay.
How far are we going back here?
We're actually not having to go back that far.
Not far.
Who are you going to say? Were there some from your time?
Goff.
Nah, nowhere near it. Time wise. Nah, I mean, that's why I don't feel so bad giving you this question, because you have absolutely helped and
of all these
seen
five.
all these players, Marvin. Right, I'll give you more thinking time, okay? And we'll get the rest of the answers next, if we can.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. They're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, which means they're trying to tackle tonight's full time teaser. Thank you to Sean for sending it, who wants the last eight Scotland goal scorers for the men's team who were not born in Scotland. So you've gone for the memorable ones recently: Dykes, Shea Adams, Scott McTominay,
Hanley.
Nah, Dumfries, I think he's born.
Anya?
What?
This always happens to me.
What? You're looking at me.
I played for West Brom. Winger.
Yes. By the way, you're better at this than I thought.
Burke, no.
I actually thought it may be him, but he was born in Kirkcaldy, Oliver Burke.
Man, he might still be there now.
I think he might be.
Right winger, he was stuck. Phillips?
Phillips.
Yeah. Matt Phillips. Well done. Very well done. Very well done. Okay. I'll give you some more thinking time and you can get back to me. We are on Twitter as well. We're at Clyde SSB. You can see Matthew chucking some answers in there that you still need to get.
Have you got his name?
Yeah. Chris Martin? No.
Yes.
He was at Derby. I remember there was a big thing, weren't he, when he started playing for Scotland?
Chris Martin.
There was well a big done. Story
Chris
about
Martin
it.
One of them?
Yeah.
Well done.
All right, so what you got?
That's all I got.
Is it three to get or something?
Three,
that's
yeah.
not bad. You're doing not
three,
too badly.
Yeah. Simon might join in.
Doing not too badly at all. I actually thought you had the weekend off, but I realise it's Friday night football for you this weekend.
Yeah, Friday night under the lights.
Through FC the capital. Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
You still got contacts in the capital, having spent some of your playing career there.
I run that city. Yeah, no.
Treat
big game.
The Queen of the South players tonight out in the capital if they win.
I can't afford that. New wages, mate. Nah, we're gonna. Could be a good game though, Gordon. You should have came, mate. But you'll be working.
Otherwise I would have been
I'll
there.
I'll FaceTime you.
Good win though last week against Falkirk.
It was, especially after you telling me that.
I heard you
weren't
fancied,
we were
yeah.
Lose.
Yeah, exactly. You were getting tipped elsewhere.
Yeah, how dare they? That was really good. Really good win against a good team. To be fair, I went to watch them on Monday night against Ayr. So obviously they got through in to semi-final of the Cup. But no, listen, we always fancied the players and they did really well. So it's all down to them. It's easy to stand on the side shouting, isn't it? It's out there running around and
yeah,
and
but they're
the
obviously
yard.
Just focused on the Scottish Cup.
Who?
Falkirk.
No, they should be focused on the league. That's important, getting promoted.
Do you think surely they weren't distracted or anything?
No, he made three subs at half time, by the way. He wasn't happy. Spoke to him after. He wasn't too happy at all. I think on the back of performing so well on the Monday, maybe he thought they took their eye off it and he wasn't happy. So, listen, full credit to my players. I'm hard enough on them as it is. They were brilliant. They were.
Yeah, good on you. So that's, yeah, they've got a little bit of low league football this weekend. It's Championship tends to be Friday night. So, in fact, yeah, most of them are Friday night, leaving Scotland to get the main billing, if you like, on Saturday, 2 o'clock kickoff. A nice change for us. We actually get to come on air on a Saturday afternoon for a Scotland game. Don't think we've had the chance to do that. Do you get the feeling, Simon, just to combine a couple of thoughts before we leave, like this international break, like the end of this, almost signals that you're on the running then when it comes to domestic stuff? I know in Scotland we've got the split, which sort of focuses that, you know, that you've then got five games to go. But I would imagine if you're a player out there and you're not on international duty, or even if you are, once that's done, then you know it's that sort of single track to the end of the season to try and achieve whatever it is your team's aiming for.
Definitely. The home straight, the business end, whatever you want to call it. You know, there's big games coming up. In the league, there's the obvious one round the corner in the semi-final, or two semi-finals in the Scottish Cup, should I say. So yeah, I think they'll be taking the opportunity just now just to kind of get themselves freshened up for the final run-in. But from a Scotland point of view, we've got two big games coming up. As I say, we could get off to a really good start, starting on Saturday against Cyprus.
And it's an interesting time for it, because let's be honest, every domestic manager is just watching, fingers crossed, that the players all come back, you know, fit and ready to go. Like, I know that we don't have as close a title race really as other leagues. It probably is going to end up at the Celtic's title come the end of the season, but there is still the cup, as Simon says, and you just wonder if what knock-on effects any international injuries either way could have, not just on those two, but obviously that's just what takes the focus at this time.
Yeah, no, there'd be a massive worry from those managers, definitely. You know, for your players going international duty, firstly you're proud, but then secondly you're thinking, and they will be watching the game saying, just come back fit, please, because it doesn't take a lot, Gordon, you know, to swing it in somebody else's favour, the semi-final or the league or whatever else. If you get a few injuries that, you know, to key players, it makes things a lot more difficult. And, you know, like we were saying about, you know, the two Japanese players who weren't called up, you know, it's almost one of those now. Andrew will be delighted with that. After,
and then,
you know,
he came off at the weekend after 15.
So then you're thinking,
if he was going to, it looks like a little strain. If he was going to do it, it's now.
Now's the right
gives
time.
Gives him a bit of time to get back.
Yeah, exactly.
Funnily enough, amid all the contract talk, I think I did see a report about Abada as well. International duty.
Oh, away in international duty. Was. Right, okay.
No, yeah, an injury or something in training, I'm sure. Right. So that's where the... Because I know international...
It's always a concern.
Yeah, massive worry.
I know it doesn't float everyone's boat. I always say that, international football, and if that's the case, you're just raging if one of your players doesn't... doesn't. But, like, we've seen it work. But, like, I'm not trying to suggest this break is as important as a World Cup, right? Clearly not. But we've spent the last few months talking about the apparent impact the World Cup had on Daizen Maeda and Aaron Moy. So you never know. Someone goes away, has a brilliant international break, comes back and gives you, your club, the form of his life between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly. But the flip side of that is Michael Beale thinking, this international break, I can get the players on the grass, the ones who aren't going on the international break. So, you know, when you are a new manager and trying to bed your ideas in, you know, the more players missing out for him probably would have been the better. But like you said, you know, listen, players going out there and having a good international break, it definitely helps when they come back to their club team.
With someone like Greg Taylor, there's obviously a situation there that Celtic want to manage, because, you know, Callum McGregor's away, he plays loads. Anthony Ralston's now been added.
He's been called up, yeah.
But obviously Celtic and Scotland between them feel that that's not something they can do with Greg Taylor at the moment.
Yeah, I think there obviously is an underlying issue with Greg, whether he's not quite 100%. And then you look at the guys that are in front of him as well. So maybe there's been a discussion there. Look, if he's not going to be getting game time or considered, he could.
I think that's the key
he could
part
be doing
Simon.
With staying here and working on whatever problem he's got.
Yeah, I think if he'd have been a starter for Scotland, then I think he would have gone. But like you said there, if he's not going to.
By the way, he's had a great season, but unfortunately for him, he's got the likes of the two guys,
two world class players in front of him. Yeah. You know, it's so unfortunate.
Again, we'll definitely get stuck into the nitty gritty of this in the next couple of days, because it's the Wednesday. We're a bit far off from the fixture. I just wonder, because with the last time we speak to you two, you see any, not curveballs as such, but, you know, maybe time you see Lewis Ferguson from the start, something along those lines.
Listen, he's doing really well at Bologna. He really is.
In place of who, though?
Well,
because McGregor's playing.
McGregor's going to play. McGinn's going to play.
McTominay's going to play, surely.
Maybe.
I think he's class.
Maybe.
That could be one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think for the Cyprus game, I think the two boys start. I know Dykes has been through the mill health-wise, but I think Dykes and Adams up top for the Cyprus game. Get off to a start. Get off to a winning start.
And then go from there.
Three at the back, maybe.
Right, okay, let's round off this teaser. We're looking for the last eight men to score for the Scotland national team who are not born in Scotland. You've given me Chris Martin, Lyndon Dykes, Shea Adams, Scott McTominay, Matt Phillips.
Jacob Brown?
No, he's not scored yet, no. He's not scored yet, I'm afraid.
Simon's mic's off, I think. He's not saying anything.
I'm toiling. Are they current squad?
There's one who scored in the Premiership. No, there's one who scored in the Scottish Premiership just at the weekend. You just didn't know that he was. He wasn't born here.
Fletcher.
Stephen Fletcher. Well done.
Where's he born?
England, I think.
Was he? Nice goal at the weekend.
Again, Greg Taylor might not get a game for Scotland because...
Robertson and Tierney.
Kieran Tierney, not born in Scotland.
What? Seriously? Yeah. Where was he born?
Like the Isle of Man or something.
What?
Something along those lines here, I think so.
Scotland.
Making that up.
Well, according to this list, Tierney. Yes. Isle of Man, yeah, he was indeed. Right. And your last one...
Clue. Quickly.
Plays for Newcastle.
Matt Ritchie. Fraser.
There we go. Well, I think it was a couple of weeks.
Turn his mic off.
I think it was a couple of weeks between him and Akechi Anya. So maybe just give you that. It's one of those two. Right, thank you. We're back tomorrow with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL.